There was a runner who, ever since he was a young boy, dreamed of going to the Olympics and winning the gold medal. So you know what? He trained, and he trained, and he trained some more, until that he was at the top of his game, only a couple of days away from the Olympic trials, and he broke his leg. So close to his goal, but a hindrance came up. But you know what he did? He waited till the leg healed, and he started to walk on it again. And he started to run on it again. And he started training again, and again, and again. And the Olympic trials came back again. And this time he made the Olympic team, and he brought home the gold. Now, why didn't he stop the first time, the first 4 years when he had broken his leg? Why didn't he say, I gave it my best, and this came up, a broken leg came up, so I quit? You want to know why? Because he knew that the goal of winning a gold medal far succeeded and far surpassed that of quitting. And the same is true with us today. Our goal should be to make it to heaven. And along this race to heaven, there will be some obstacles. There will be, like in the story, a broken leg or hindrance that would seemingly make us want to quit or just give up. But we must push through these hindrances. And today, that's what we'll be talking about. 4 hindrances that would seemingly stop us from being baptized and going to heaven, and how to overcome them. And the first point being our reputations. There are some of us who are struggling to become Christians or struggling as Christians because we feel that this worldly reputation that we hold is too important to give up, too important to let go. And if anyone in the Bible could use this excuse, it was Saul, who later became known as Paul. Because we see that in Acts chapter 22 and verse 19, we see here that Paul, he was a Roman by birth, and it reads, so those who were about to examine him withdrew from him immediately, and the tribune was afraid, for he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and that he had bound him. Now, back in these times, being Roman held something important. They received special treatment, but Paul, as we know, was still baptized. But some of us may say that, oh, it's not a name issue. I have no problem taking on the name of being a Christian. But it's my job. It's what I've done in my past that haunts me. Well, if I remember correctly, Paul, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, we read what Paul did for a living and what Paul had in his past. Once again, that was Acts chapter 8 and verse 3. And it reads, but Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house, and he dragged off men and women, committing them to prison. Now, here we read that Paul, he was a persecutor of Christians. He went into their houses and dragged them out, men and women, committing them to prison. So, let me ask you, what have you done in your past that is so horrendous that you cannot become a Christian? Because we see in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16 that Paul was baptized and Paul did become a Christian. So I say to you today that if we can do the same if we just follow John chapter 3 and verse 30, where it tells us that in order for Jesus to increase in our lives, we must first decrease. We must be willing to put ourselves aside, as found in Matthew's chapter 16, verse 24 and 25, where it tells us to deny ourselves and pick up the cross. And once we are willing to do this, once we are willing to fully deny ourselves, our reputation on this earth won't mean anything, and it won't be a hindrance any longer. But a hindrance that just may be the most dangerous is those of us who let our sense of false self-righteousness stop us from making it to heaven and stop us from being baptized. those of us who say, I'm a good person and I do good things, so why should I have to be baptized? And our example can be found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, and it reads, And everyone who hears these words of mine will be like to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on a rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does them not will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So here we see a wise and a foolish man, both given the same instructions. Both heard the word, but the difference was the wise man followed Jesus' instructions and heard the word to a T, while the foolish man said, you know what, I built a house just like he did, but rock doesn't look too good, or I don't like that part, so I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to build it on sand. And as we see in the end of verse 27, great was the fall of it. So we see that we may do good things, or we may be halfway obedient, like the young rich man found. No, like the young rich man. But we let our self-confidence, I know I'm going to heaven because I do good things, stop us. But what we really need to do is be completely obedient, as found in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21, where we see that the Pharisees saying, there will be some of us that on judgment day, we will be saying, Lord, Lord, did I not do this in your name? Did I not do that in your name? But the Lord will look at us and say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. But we see that in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, that the Lord would rather have obedience than sacrifice. The Lord would rather us obey him completely than go around doing all these so-called good works in his name. And as a part of obedience, we must obey what he says in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, where he says, Whosoever believes and is baptized shall be saved, but whosoever does not believe shall be condemned. And while self-righteousness may be the most dangerous, The greatest hindrance is those who have a readiness, but is crippled by their ignorance of the scriptures. And our example biblically can be found in the Ethiopian eunuch, which is found in Acts chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. And here we will find the story of a man who had been reading the scriptures, but he didn't understand. So when Philip came and taught him, as we see in verse 35, that Philip, when he opened his mouth and began with this scripture, told him the good news about Jesus. So he told him what it took to be saved. And we see that the Ethiopian eunuch had a readiness similar to the Bereans in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. And as soon as he knew what needed to be done of him, he saw water and there was no hesitation on his part. He asked the question, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And the same applies to all of us. We must believe that Jesus is Lord, Romans 10 and 10. Then we must repent and turn away from our sins, Acts 2:38. Then we must confess our faith in the Lord, Romans 10:9, and be baptized in water for the remission of our sins, gaining, as Chad said, the greatest relationship of all, a relationship with God the Father, in Mark 16 and 16. But we must remain faithful unto death. Revelations 2 and 10. And now that we have heard the word, we must follow what James chapter 1 verse 22 says. And that is, not to be hearers only, but doers of the word also. Now, the saddest hindrance of all is those who let their resistance stop them from being baptized. Those who say, I know what needs to be done, but what I have is just too hard to let go. It's just too much. You don't understand. What I have is just, I can't let it go. I just can't. Much like the young rich ruler found in Luke chapter 18, verses 22 and 23. Let us turn there. Once again, that is Luke chapter 8, verses 22 and 23. And it reads, "When Jesus heard this, he said to him, 'One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me.' But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich." So we see that this young rich man, he turned down Jesus because of what he had. And how many of us today are letting what we have stop us from coming to Jesus? Why? Why do we let these earthly things, which, as in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, will either be stolen or destroyed? Why do we let what we can't take past the grave with us stop us from making it to an eternity? Because I believe Job puts it the best when he said in Job chapter 1, verse 21, "Naked I came into this world, and naked will I leave." So as I conclude, I will like to ask each and every one of you a question. What are we letting hinder us from being baptized? Is it our reputation? Is it our self-righteousness? Is it our readiness crippled by ignorance of the scriptures? Or are we just flat out resisting? Well, whatever your situation might be this evening, I want you to ask yourself, what am I allowing to hinder me from being baptized? And is it really worth spending an eternity in hell over? Is it really worth spending an eternity in hell over? And if it's not, then here are some steps we must take in order that we remove those hindrances out the way and become completely obedient. That is, believe that Jesus is Lord, Romans 10 and 10. Repent and turn away from our sins, Acts 2 and 38. Confess our faith in Christ, Romans 10 and 9. And be baptized in water for the remission of our sins, Mark 16 and 16. But like I told the story before of the runner, it doesn't matter how good you start a race, how well you start something, if you don't finish it. So we must remain faithful unto death, and we will receive a crown that is in heaven, Revelations 2 and verse 10. So if there's any that will wish to respond to the invitation, please do so as we stand and sing our invitation song.